Earlier this year, we were in South Florida visiting my mother, who lives in the Metroplex that goes from West Palm Beach to Miami. And year-round, it's just congested. There are a lot of people that crowd the highways with their cars. But in the wintertime, it's all the more crowded because of all these snowbirds that have brought cars from all over North America. Well, we had a rental car, and I was driving. And I said to Charlene, you know, we've been here like 3 days, and I don't think any other driver has cut me slack in the entire time we've been here. When I've tried to pull out, they've cut me off. When I put my signal on, they won't let me pull into line. When I try to ease over, they close together, you know, sort of squeeze up to make sure I can't do it. I said, not once has anybody been kind to me in 3 days down here. And at best, they're inconsiderate, and at worst, they're downright rude. And as I was telling her this, I put the directional on to turn left at the next intersection, and as soon as I did it, the car to my left, slightly behind me, braked, slowed down, and let me pull in. Totally contradicted everything that I had just said. And I looked in the side view mirror, and they had Minnesota license plates. So, you know, I'm kind of proud. It makes me feel warm inside that we have Minnesota nice. Hey, not that people from other states aren't nice, but, you know, do you think overall in America that people are getting nicer or nastier? Do you think if you compare now to a year or two or 30 years ago, that people are kinder or not so kind, civil or not so civil? Well, check out the statistics reported in U.S. News and World Report in saying that the percentage of Americans who think that incivility is a serious problem, 89%. That is really high, so we've got a problem. Those who think that mean-spirited political campaigns are to blame, 73% of us. But the real blame, according to 67%, is rock music. That's really turning us into an uncivil society. Or 52%, that's a majority, think that talk radio is to blame. And those who think that their own behavior is uncivil, 1%. Now, I think that if we took a survey asking people if Christians are supposed to be nice and kind, that just about everybody would say, yes, of course. And hardly anybody would say that Christians are supposed to be cruel and mean and nasty and unkind. So it's sort of an assumption of the way Christians are supposed to be. But let's check out what the Bible has to say about being nice. Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. So it's saying that when getting dressed in the morning, put on kindness. Now, most of us think through what we're going to wear. You think where you're going to go and what you're going to do and who you're going to see during the day and dress to match what is upcoming. So we plan ahead and think about it. And the Bible is here saying that when you do that, when you put on your makeup in the morning, put on kindness. Anticipate what's going to happen during the day and how you can be nice and kind. Or Galatians 5:22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So kindness is not the only flavor in the fruit basket of a Spirit-filled life, but it's the central one. It's right in the middle. 1 Thessalonians 5:15. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. So sometimes kindness is heroic, but usually it's supposed to be the routine of life. And every time, kindness is the way that Christians are to respond even when other people commit wrongs against us. It's who Christians are. It's kind of what we do. Or Romans chapter 12. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So the Bible's here saying there's two different patterns you can go with. The world's pattern, God's pattern. And you got to pick. You say, well, what would God's pattern look like? And Paul says, glad you asked, because he explains in the rest of Romans 12, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. All right, so there's two patterns to choose from, the world's pattern, God's pattern, and the world's pattern is never explained. Only God's pattern is explained, and that's because, hey, if you're going to make a dress, you only need one pattern. You don't need the pattern for the dress you're not going to make. If you're going to take a vacation trip, you only need one map. There's no point in getting a wrong map if you can get a right map, so you just need the one map. And here in Romans 12, we're told the kind behavior of Christians is like this. Be devoted to others. Because that's kind. Honor and show other people respect, because that's nice. Pray for other people. That's a nice thing to do. Invite other people to your home, especially strangers, not just your buddies, but strangers, because that's nice too. And bless those people who make your life miserable. Because that's really nice to do that. And rejoice with those who rejoice. So if somebody's really happy and celebrating, don't throw cold water on it. Don't tell them about some better deal that you've got. Just rejoice with them. Because that's nice. And mourn with those who mourn. When people are really sad, share a tear with them. Get engaged in their sadness. Because that's a nice thing to do. And be humble. Never be proud or conceited or arrogant. Don't kiss up and kick down, because that's not Christian behavior. That's not nice. That's not kind. Be gracious to those who are lower than you are in the ladder of life. Actually, that sort of begs a question of, all right, if I'm going to be nice, who should be first on the list? If you're going to be nice to absolutely anybody, the Bible says top of the list is those who are poor. Proverbs 19:17 says, he who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward him for what he has done. In that stunning description of the virtuous and noble woman at the end of Proverbs, Proverbs 31:20 says, she opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. Jesus says in Luke 14, you're going to throw a party. Well, when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. In other words, invite the people least likely to normally get an invitation to the party. The goal, of course, is to be kind to absolutely everybody, but especially those who have less. And while it's true that the pattern of the world in all of this is not described, we can kind of figure it out. Because the pattern of the world is to kiss up. The pattern of the world is to be nice to your boss. If somebody's rich, you want to be kind to them. If they have power and influence and really can do you some good in life, then you want to defer to them and make them happy and be as nice and kind to them as you possibly can. But God's way is the other way. Think of yourself not as the employee who's being gracious to the employer. Think of yourself as the employer who's being kind to the employee. Think of yourself as someone who is considerate to those who are less than you, poorer than you, weaker than you. It is that kind of graciousness. And if ever in doubt of the question, who's the poor? Then if no other way, define it like this. Define where you are, and it's anyone who has less than you have. Less job, less money, less power, less prestige, less of anything. That is the mark of a Christian, to be gracious and kind to those who have less, to those who are poor. It is the Christian way. But what if we mess up? What if we fail at this? What if we get up in the morning and say, all right, I'm going to do it. Today, I am really going to be nice and kind to everybody, everywhere I go, and I've got everything planned out for the day. And I'm going to think through in advance how I'm going to handle it. This is going to be a really good day because I'm going to be really Christian in my relationship with people. And you start out great. But by the end of the day, you come home and you're exhausted and you plop down in the chair and you say, this was a total disaster. I was misunderstood. I was cruel to people. I said things that were just totally inappropriate. Ugh, it was a terrible day. Now, how do we handle that? I'll tell you what not to do. Don't say, oh, I'm a terrible person. I might as well just be a terrible person. So I treat other people rotten. That's what I do. So I just always treat people rotten. A far better approach is to recognize everybody messes up at this. Every Christian fails at this. But that doesn't mean that we give up, that God is in the process of transforming us. This is a process. And so we say, okay, today was a lousy day, but tomorrow is a new opportunity. Tomorrow I'm going to think through what I'm going to do, and I'm going to clothe myself in kindness. I'm going to put on the makeup of kindness. I'm going to think it through, and I'm going to do it because God's at work changing me from the inside out. Back to Romans 12. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. Okay, that's what the Bible says about being nice. But what does Christian nice and kind actually look like? Well, for one thing, it's the same. It's a synonym, to be nice, to be kind. It is that we be kind like Jesus. Because Jesus was kind to people who were very familiar with cruelty. People were really cruel to those that had leprosy. And yet Jesus touched them. Jesus took the people that were on the farthest fringes of society. In their time, it was tax collectors and prostitutes. And he welcomed them into his circle of friends. He fed the hungry. He was generous to the poor. He stood up for those that suffered injustice and were disenfranchised. He wept over those that were dead. Not because he was weak, not because he was naive. To the contrary, Jesus was strong. He was sophisticated. And therein is the whole point, that strong and sophisticated, he used his position of strength for the benefit of those who were weak and those who were less. He was kind to others. So that's what we do. We're kind like Jesus, and especially kind when we are wronged. Now, I, for one, find it very easy to be nice to people who are nice to me. So if you want me to be nice to you, you go first. And I can be nice to you. But I don't find anything special about that. And I don't find anything particularly Christian about that. I think that there are people who have never heard of the Bible or the name of Jesus Christ who are nice to people that are nice to them. The test of Christian kindness is when others are nasty. It's when they're mean. It's when they're cruel. The Bible says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. When people are rotten to us, we want to curse them out. But don't do that. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. So I'll tell you about me. I find that when people are unkind to me, my defenses immediately go up. I don't have to think about it. I don't have to decide about it. I don't have to prepare for it. It is instinct. So my defenses go up. If they're tearing me down, my instinct is to tear them down. We may grovel together, but I'll end up groveling from a higher position than they are. I'll beat them out at this. When they're disrespectful, then I'll be disrespectful to them. I'll be quick with words and I will get even. I will destroy them if they are trying to destroy me. And I don't want to be like that. I don't want to think like that. I don't want to respond like that. When others do me wrong, I want to do them right. And so I need to pray a prayer and I need to speak to myself. I need to take a deep breath and I need to say, be nice, be kind, be Christian. And I need to say it a lot of times. Be nice, be kind, be Christian. Kind like Jesus, kind when wronged. And kind in humility. Humility is letting others go first, even if they really belong at the end of the line. It's a reluctance to brag. It's a reluctance to push myself ahead of everybody else. It's deferring to somebody else. And it's nice. Humility is nice and kind. The words of Philippians 2, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only on your own interests, but also on the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Now, maybe we've got the instructions down, but what we need to do is brainstorm this. So how are we going to actually do this? And I want you to help me. So I'm going to ask you to give me practical suggestions on an everyday basis on how we can live out Christian nice. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. And if you're going to be nice to me, you're going to give me some suggestions here. But let me sort of get the pump primed on this. You know, some ways to do Christian nice. Simple things, like hold the door for somebody. This past Friday, Charlene and I were walking into an office building, and we got to the door just about the same time as this woman, and I was going to hold the door for her, and she insisted that she was going to hold the door for us. So she held the door, and we walked through, and Charlene was ahead of me, and there was another door. So Charlene held the door for the next two of us, and fortunately, there was actually a third door, so I held the third door. So we all kind of came through, and we're kind of all nice to each other. That was kind of a nice thing to do. How about, wouldn't it be nice to talk to someone who is ignored by others? Because in most social settings, including here in this room today, there are some people that just sort of seem to be invisible. There are other people you notice, and then those that you don't notice. There are people that came with somebody else or as a friend or a family member or just sort of a natural connection. And then there are those others that they're just, I don't know, they just come and they go and there's no connection. Say hello. Ask them about themselves. Connect. How about paying for the person who is behind you in line? Interesting story out of a Seattle coffee shop with a drive-thru. One day, a customer not only paid for the order, but said, here's some more money to pay for whatever the person behind me orders. And so the next person came up and the clerk said, yours is already paid for. And that customer gave money and said, let's have that cover the person behind me. And it went on for 2.5 hours. 2.5 hours, everybody paid for the people behind. It does make me wonder about the person that broke the chain. But let's not go there. We'll just, you know, let's just stick with the good part of this thing. That's all right. How about giving an unexpected tip? Now, in my theory of things, Christians should be the most generous of tippers in acknowledging and encouraging the service of others. But what about something that's totally unexpected? There was a while, a year or so, where our family often went to the same fast food restaurant in town on Sunday at noontime. And almost always, the same woman took our order, took our money, got our food, and we'd have minor conversations with her, but it was pretty much on a weekly basis. One Sunday as we were coming, I got thinking about her and how she had served us well so very many times. So that day, we made the order, and I paid for it, and she got the food. And then I took out and handed to her a $20 bill. And I said, you know, you have served us so well so many times. I just want to give this to you as an expression of thanks from our family. And she said, nothing. Nothing. So I don't think she had a lot of experience in this happening before, because typically there's not much tipping in fast food restaurants. So we went to our table, sat down. 3 or 4 minutes later, she walked over and gave the money back. And she said, no, this is way too much money. You can't do this. I said, oh, yeah, you know, I can. And I said, actually, it's not too much. I said, you've just been wonderful, and I want you to keep this as an expression of our gratitude. Just thank you. You know, she had tears in her eyes, and she said, you know, today's my last day working here. So we can just be nice with an unexpected tip. We can smile and choose not to be irritated when someone's cell phone rings in a theater. So instead of turning around and gesturing, break that phone in half, just don't let it get under your skin. Be kind to the people. When on an airplane and someone has a child that is crying and screaming, you don't need to glare. You don't need to signal the flight attendant. Why don't you go over and offer to help take care of the child for the next hour of the flight? Because honestly, those parents don't want the child to scream any more than you want the child to scream. So be nice to them. Or when in the line at the grocery store and the person ahead of you whips out a one-inch pile of coupons, what you can do is talk to that person and say, wow, where do you get all your coupons? How about being polite to the unsolicited telephone caller who wants to sell you something at the phone, over the phone, and calls you at home? Because the thing to do is think about this. Here is someone who is probably earning minimum wage, who is struggling for an income, and has a job they'd prefer not to have, probably making a call to you that they would prefer not to make. And what about being considerate enough to be gracious? You can say, you know, I'd rather not get calls at home, but you can be pleasant about it. You can say, I'm not going to buy your product, but thank you for you. Just imagine how distinctive a response that would be compared to many of the responses that that caller receives. Or how about shoveling your neighbor's sidewalk? Get the snow off the sidewalk and don't say you did it. Just do it. Or how about doing something that I have done for many, many years? Every time I hear an ambulance siren or see ambulance lights, I pray, either silently or if I'm alone in the car out loud, for someone that I don't even know who is in probably the worst crisis they have ever experienced in their lives, and for the medical personnel who are taking care of them. How about speaking with warmth and respect to the person who expresses a political and moral view that you find repugnant? I've got a theory that says that we are at a point in our culture when perhaps the greatest opportunity to be non-Christian or to be Christian in the way we interact with people is in those that have significant political differences. Or what about being nice by avoiding unkind humor? I'll just, again, tell you that for me, sometimes in conversation with people, I can think of the funniest thing to say that is just downright cruel and mean towards somebody who isn't there. And in a circumstance like that, the thing to do is just button it up. Just keep your mouth shut. Keep my mouth shut. The kind thing is to avoid that kind of humor. And it's not just what we do individually. It's things that we can do together corporately. There's a church in Ohio that has groups of people that regularly provide free car washes for people in the community. No agenda, no strings attached, no money accepted, just periodically saying, we'll wash the car of anybody that brings it through for free. That same church has people that at Christmas time go and set up tables or rent space at the local malls, and they purchase Christmas wrapping paper and ribbons and tape, and they provide Christmas gift wrap for free. They pay for it themselves, just as Christians, just in the name of Jesus Christ. In the summertime, they'll give away for free as many as 30,000 free cans of soda pop at Cincinnati Reds baseball games. Just as Christians, just being nice, just being generous. What they do is they put a sticker on each can with the name of the church, but never their church. Always some other church that is in their community. So that's to prime the pump. I need some suggestions from you. So what are some ways for Christians to be nice? Okay, let's get that on the screen. I'm going to be really interested to see what this says, because that was a long... At the airport, when somebody in front of you is struggling to check in, help them with their baggage. That's really a good suggestion. Does that come out of any kind of personal experience? Recently, yeah, I believe that. Good. Okay, what are some other suggestions? Okay, compliment a clerk who handles a difficult customer well. That is really a good idea, because often they feel kind of beat up by customers that are sort of out of line. Yeah. Okay, find the crabby lady in the office and try to make her smile. That is great. Yeah. Okay, change the foul mood. You must have run into a clerk that was not nice. Wow, all right. All right, yeah. Okay, give your seat on a bus or a train to somebody who needs it. Great. Say that again. Wave when somebody lets you in when you're driving. Okay, give them a nice gesture. That's good. That's good. So sort of thanking them. Okay, any nice people on the balcony? Okay. Yeah, that's good. It's not just smiling at them. It's acknowledging their smile. Is that what you're saying? Yeah, that's really good. Acknowledge somebody else's kindness because that's sort of affirming it and passing it along as well. Some of you are baseball fans, and you know who Wade Boggs is, the third baseman, former third baseman for the Boston Red Sox, who was elected into the Baseball Hall of Fame. He hated to go to New York City to play the Yankees, not because of the Yankees, but because of a season ticket holder who had a seat right near the third base line, who was belligerent and antagonistic and profane and obscene and had a very loud voice and would just shout at and antagonize Wade Boggs every time Boston played in New York. And he was not only nasty, he was good at being nasty. So he was really effective at doing this and got under Boggs' skin to the point that it affected his whole attitude and playing. He just didn't ever want to go to Yankee Stadium. One day, this antagonist was starting early. The game had not yet begun. They're warming up, and he's already shouting obscenities and profanities at Boggs. So Boggs walked over to the edge of the field and pointed at this guy and said, "Are you the one who every game is yelling and shouting obscenities and profanities at me?" And this guy acknowledged that he was in an obscene and profane way. And Boggs then took out a new baseball, autographed it, and handed it to him. And they say he never antagonized Wade Boggs again. In fact, he became one of his strongest fans at Yankee Stadium. That's kind of like Jesus. That's the kind of thing that a Christian does. That's the kind of thing that we want to do. 1 Thessalonians 5:15 says, "Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else." Our Lord God, you are kind to us, and we know that, and we are deeply grateful. We want to be kind back to you, but we also want to pass your kindness along. So help us. Help us to put it on today and tomorrow morning, to dress with kindness and niceness, graciousness. Help us as we have been blessed to be a blessing to others, to be nice for Jesus' sake. Amen.